You turn again to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. The greatest work that anyone can be engaged in is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's work is the most rewarding. It is most fulfilling. And it is that work that is a blessing to others. The greatest service that one can render, the greatest cause that one can espouse or advance, is the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ on earth. It is this work that forwards God's cause on earth, that promotes the name and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is this work that leads to the change in people's lives, people's attitudes, that will affect them in time and in eternity. And for a successful engaging in the work of the Lord, the Scripture sets out a number of requirements. We're going to look at three of them just now, and they're all found in the one verse. That little out-of-the-way verse, or out-of-the-way book, the book of Ecclesiastes, and in that chapter we read earlier. The verse is chapter 9 of Ecclesiastes, and the first part of verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. What a verse. I want you to notice the first essential, the first requirement of effective Christian service is activity. We've got to be up and doing. Activity. And we have that in the word do. And the words do it. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do it with thy might. Now, not all activity is necessarily Christian work. There can be a lot of wheel spinning. There can be a lot of much ado about nothing. There can be a lot of hustle and bustle and people getting into a tizzy. But that said, there really cannot be any Christian service without activity. Some people, they do not want to get involved. So they say, I'll pray. But don't ask me to do anything else. You can be sure that I'll be supporting you in prayer. And that's very good, because we can't do without prayer. But prayer was never meant to be an excuse for a lack of activism and activity in God's work. You remember in the book of Amos, the word is in chapter 6, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. There are times that we do not well to be at ease. There are times that we would be far better not being at ease, but by being up and about. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said in one occasion, that I labored more abundantly than they all. And he was talking about men who were very active in Christian service. And he said, I labored more abundantly than them all. There's a man who was active. We read in James chapter 1, that we're not only to be a hearer of the word, but a doer. You know, there are some people, and they love good Bible study. And why not? We all should. But they want to come and fill themselves like sponges. But they never live it out. They want to learn doctrine, and they want to learn this, that, and the other from God's word. But they're not living it out. There's no activism. You take, I've said this often to you here, you take those epistles of Paul to the Romans and to the Ephesians particularly, and you'll find the first part of them is always dealing with instruction and doctrine, deep doctrine at that. But the apostle never lays down his pen until he shows the outworking of those doctrines in practical everyday living, in doing, doing, doing. For instance, whenever Paul was writing that great gospel truth, and we're very familiar with part of it, but we're not so familiar with the rest of it. It's in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And that's where we stop. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's why we're saved, that we might be given to spiritual, Christian, physical activity. Listen again to what the Lord Jesus said. Let your light so shine before men. How are you going to let your light shine before men? The only way you're going to know is by their action. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You remember the Lord Jesus himself said, I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. And before we leave this matter of activity, the book of Titus, it's a small book, only 3 chapters in it. But in chapter 2, and repetitively in chapter 3, Paul writing to Titus, he says, make sure you tell our people, Titus, to be zealous of good works, to maintain good works. So my dear brother and sister, let me say to you, if you're a Christian, you need to be up and doing for the Lord. Somebody once said, and it's very wise what they said, work without prayer is presumptuous. And we need to take that on board. If we are all work and don't spend time with God, well, we're being presumptuous. But he went on to say, prayer without work is hypocrisy. What a balance there is in that statement. Work without prayer is presumptuous. And prayer without work is hypocrisy. It's up to us to strike the balance, to be men and women of prayer. But don't leave it at that. Get out and do something for the Lord Jesus. I think of the 1859 revival, and that minister away up in Kells and Connor said to the young fellows in the church that were doing things for the Lord, he says, young men, he says, is there nothing more that you could do for the Lord? And some of them took him up on that and went to that schoolhouse in Kells and prayed down the great revival of 1859 in this country. They, among others. You remember what the apostle wrote to the Corinthians in the first letter, chapter 15 and 58. He says, be steadfast, movable, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And this is what Solomon is saying in Ecclesiastes, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, and let's be always abounding on it. Let me ask you a couple of questions. To you who are saved, have you ever got involved in the Lord's work some way related in this congregation? There's so much to be done. Have you ever got involved? Are you just in the periphery of things? Yes, you're a Christian, but and you come faithfully to the meetings, and that's highly commendable of you. But have you ever got involved in the whole work of the church? What is the purpose of this church? It's to reach out to others with the gospel. And everything we do here is to that end eventually. There's so many different ways of reaching that end. But we need to be active. So the first essential in effective Christian service is activity. But I want you to notice in the second place, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. There's discovery here. This is the second thing. If we are going to be effective Christian workers, we have got to discover something about ourselves and about God's work. What it is exactly we can do. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do. Sometimes this work, this activity that we are to do, may be discovered in a providential manner, first of all. By that I mean, you hadn't planned to do anything in particular, but maybe an office bearer comes to you, maybe a superintendent or a children's leader comes to you and says, would you think about this? Would you pray about this? Getting involved in helping us in this department of the church or doing something with regard to other practical aspects of the church work, and you never thought of it. But that put a wee seed in your mind. And you began to pray. And the result is, there's a willingness to accede to the request that was made. And you find out that thing that person asked you to do, that just suits you perfectly. It's something that you have a particular trait for, that you have a gift for, you have a skill at, and you've discovered what you can do in a providential manner. I remember reading, I've told you this before, but it bears repeating here, where a woman in a particular church came to the minister of the church, and she was very low in spirits and despondent. And she confided in him, and she says, I think I'm on the verge of a nervous breakdown. Now, the woman had plenty of time on her hands because of her circumstances. And he thought about the matter, and he said, what this woman would need is a wee bit of practical activity and something she could focus on and lift her mind of things. And he went to see her, and he says, I think I can help you with your problem. And she says, that's tremendous. What help can you give? He says, you know, Mrs. So-and-so, and mentioned the old people's home that was not too far away from the church. She says, yes. He says, I know that you can bake well. Why don't you bake her a wee bag of buns and go down and bring them to her? She doesn't have any family. And you could sit there and speak with her for a wee while. She says, is that the type of help that he's talking about? But she says, well, I'll do what he said. So she did that. And she went round to see this particular lady who was also a member of the church. And they never knew each other because the church was so big. But this woman introduced herself and mentioned the pastor's name, and said, Charles, he asked me to come and see you. And he said, I brought you these wee treats. And the wee woman was elated. And the woman who felt that she was on the verge of a breakdown took an interest in that woman. And she said to her, would it be all right if I come back to see you again? She said, surely. There's never very many people comes to see me. And that woman got involved in that work and found herself very busily engaged in it. And after several months, the minister saw her one time in church after service and says, what about you? How are you getting on? What about that breakdown you said? She says, breakdown? Oh, she says, I'm so busy, I haven't even time to think of it. And that was wise counsel, getting involved in activity, but discovering what she was good at. And she was good at cooking, she was good at baking, and she had a good personality, and she was able to take the initiative and visit the elderly, and became a blessing in that work. Providential. But let me add something. To find out the work that we should do, it's not only a matter that comes to us providentially, but more often than that, it's a matter that we discover purposefully. By that I mean, when we realize we have work to do for the Lord, that He expects us to work, we get down on our knees and say, Lord, just as the Apostle Paul did after he got converted, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And God will show you. By the way, He's more concerned to show you what He wants you to do than what you are to find out. And it may be there's a young man or a young woman in this church, and you're thinking perhaps of something future. You're thinking of something by way of a life's work. Well, pray about it. Say, Lord, is this what's in my mind? Is this what I'm thinking about? Is this what you want me to do? And God will plainly show you. I had to find out before I went into the Lord's work, before I went into the Belfast City Mission, before I went into the Free Presbyterian Church, before I became the minister and committed myself to the work here, I had to find out for sure that it was God's will. I remember praying that night whenever we went to live in lodgings in Belfast with a dear lady who had no sympathy for Dr. Paisley or the Free Presbyterian Church. And whenever she heard what my views are, she says, if it wasn't for the child, that was Alison, she was just a few months old, she says, you'd all be out in the street. I said, how nice, how nice. But anyhow, I remember getting down that first night whenever the family, I saw them off to bed and I had business to do with the Lord. And I got down on my knees and I said, Lord, I want a word from Thee, so that when the going gets tough, whenever the boat's filling up with water, and I'm out on the sea of life, that I know that I'm in Thy will. Lord, give me a word. I was reading from Joshua chapter 1. It's the fifth verse. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. That saw me through those days and all the years since. What I'm saying is, you need to get before the Lord for these matters. I had decisions to make. I had two calls before I came here. One to the church that I was in Omaha, and one to here. And I had to be sure. I knew what I wanted to do. Knew what I felt we would do. But I had to be sure. And I remember leaving the house that day and going down to the old church in Omaha before the new church was built and locking the doors to make sure that I would not be interrupted. I had to give my message, my word to presbytery that night. And I remember going through the scriptures, just continuing the read, not looking for to pick a place here and a place there, but just through the reading that I had been doing every day and how the Lord opened it up. It's amazing. Got up off my knees, left that room, went home, knowing what my answer to presbytery was that night. And I want to tell you, my dear young friend, God will do the same for you. If God is calling you into work, He'll show you. He'll give you the desire. He'll put the burden on your heart, and you'll have it confirmed by the word of the Lord. But you say, but I don't feel the call to full-time service. Yeah, but there's more service than that. Sunday school teachers are needed in this church. Children's workers. Workers with the elderly. Outreach workers. If you look at your bulletin, you'll find that there's an outreach team being assembled to do serious outreach work in the near future. Why don't you say, Lord, what do you want me to do about these things? There's always help with catering here. As you know, the kettle's never off the boil. I remember whenever I went to the city mission in Belfast, the main man in the hall, he stood with me one day, and with a grin on his face, he said, you see, we talked about workers. That's what, there was no office bearers, but they were all called workers. And anybody that got involved in helping to do things in the mission hall, they were called workers. And he looked at me with a big grin on his face. He says, the best work in this place is the teapot. And I could understand why, because it never was off the boil. Well, we always need help. As you know, you have family night, you have singers coming every Sunday night, or people giving their testimony more often than not. And there are also other special things. There's a work to do. There's work outside. We have grounds that are spacious enough. Work inside. There's always things that need to be done. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do. Maybe somewhere in this area that I have mentioned, you could fit in with your talents, with your gifts, with your abilities. Maybe you're a good organizer. Maybe you're a good letter writer. Maybe you're a good singer. Maybe you can speak a bit and you could give a word at the meetings. And who knows where that might lead you to in times to come. But upon finding this gift, upon discovering what your skill is, and let me emphasize that God gives at least one skill, one talent, one ability, one gift whenever He gives a new birth. There's always a gift, at least one, that comes along with it that you might serve Him effectively. You remember whenever Paul was writing to Timothy, he said, stir up the gift that is in thee by the laying on of hands. Look for it. Find it. And then begin to exercise it. And let me just say a word of caution here. Don't be waiting for the most ideal circumstances. They'll never come. If you just turn over the page to chapter 11 here, Solomon says in verse 4, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. In other words, you'll never get the ideal circumstances. So start asking the Lord today, Lord, what's my gift? What particular ability have you given me that can be a benefit to thy kingdom, to thy work, to God's house here, to further afield? And once he shows you, as he will, then start using it. Get active in the service of the Lord. But there's one other word, not only activity, not only discovery, but there's intensity. Notice our text again. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. What a statement. Do it with thy might. If a job, you've heard the saying often, if a job's worth doing, do it well. This is really what Solomon is saying here. We are all exhorted to do God's work with enthusiasm, with determination, with resolve, resoluteness, and with commitment. Time and time again, it comes out in Scripture. Oh, if we had the time to look at these, but let me mention some. Hezekiah, his dad was not a good man. One of the worst kings that Israel, that Judah ever had, was Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah. But whenever he died, the young king came to the throne, and he, to my mind, was a careful observer of the state of the country in his father's reign, and he was going to change all of that, and by God's grace he did. You find the story in chapter 29 and 30 and 31 and 32 of 2 Chronicles. But there's a tremendous phrase at the end of chapter 31, and this is what it says. In every work that he did it with all his heart and prospered. There's a man, what he found to do, he did it with his might. He threw himself without reserve into it. Wednesday night at our midweek service, we were looking at the work of Christ, and we noticed a man called Epaphroditus. And Paul was writing to the Philippians to accord this man a great respect and esteem. And he went on to say why. He said, who for the work of Christ was nigh unto death? There's a man who was doing God's work with all his might, that he nearly died as a result of it. Take the believers in Philippi themselves. Paul writing to the Corinthians about them. He says, to their power, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. In other words, they were giving finance. They were given support to the Lord's work in a certain area. And they could not afford it. But Paul says, beyond their power, they were willing to give. In fact, he says, they first gave their own selves unto the Lord, and then unto us, by the will of God. That's what you call, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Paul himself is a tremendous example. Read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 28, to see what that man had to endure in the service of the Lord Jesus. And in Acts 20 he says, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy. In the next chapter, chapter 21, was a man called Agabus. And he took Paul's girdle, and he began to bind his own hands and feet, and he says, whoever owns this girdle, the Lord is saying, that's going to happen to him when he goes to Jerusalem. And all the people says, Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. And Paul says, what mean ye to weep and to break my heart? I am ready not only to go to Jerusalem, but to die for the cause of Christ if needs be. That's what Solomon means. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. You remember the Lord Jesus. He's the supreme example. He said on one occasion, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened until it be accomplished? That baptism was not water baptism at that time, although he was baptized. But the baptism he was talking about was the work that he was undergoing at Calvary. And when he would step out into the awful judgment of God, and that judgment of God would come over his head like billows. And the word straighten means how I am pressed in, how I am pained, just like the banks of a river keep the water in. The Lord Jesus says, that's the way I feel until I have this work done. You remember he said, or others said it of him when they saw him in John's Gospel early on in his ministry, going into the house of God and turning over the tables with the money changers and those that sold doves. And the Bible says that they looked at him and remembered the scripture in the book of Psalms, and they applied it to him. The zeal of my house has eaten me up. That's what Solomon means. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. You remember how David in Psalm 103 wrote out an exaltation. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. There's a man doing it with all his might. Now those are just some of the scripture references. What about outside the scripture? What about the missionaries of yesteryear as well as the missionaries of today? Carrying on their work year after year, and particularly in olden times when they left their homes and families and church and might never have seen them in 10 years, or maybe never even had seen them, maybe in a lifetime they might have died in the mission field. What sacrifice, what commitment. Hudson Taylor, William Carey, David Brainerd, George Whitfield, and John Wesley as flaming evangelists. But you say they're all professional people. They gave their lives to that. And what examples they are. But what about lay people? Let me tell you the story as we come to a close. And particularly, young people, you listen. There was a young boy called Abel. Belonged to a Sunday school. And one day his Sunday school teacher was preaching on this very same verse that we've been looking at today. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. And the wee fella, he was pleasant and fun-loving, but at times he was lazy. And he listened to what the Sunday school superintendent said. He says, that's what my mummy's always telling me. She says, she's always scolding me because I only do my homework half. I want to get out and play. Don't like doing homework. Now, all you young people can identify with that, can't you? We all could. If we all told the truth, we just didn't like doing homework. We wanted to get out and play football or go hunting or whatever, or go fishing. But this young fellow was just like that, like every other young lad. But he said, God's word, he says it's a command. And God's word says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. He says, I'm going to change. He says, my mommy says, if I grow up, I can't always be half-hearted like this. So everybody noticed in school, he began to do his lessons really well. And he did quite well at it. And they all knew that what he failed at, the things he didn't do well at, it wasn't for want of trying. But he left school and began to be apprenticed to a blacksmith. He began to work hard. And he got saved. And he joined the church and became active in the congregation. But his blacksmith work, everybody said he was very conscientious. And then one day, the teacher of the boy in Sunday school went out, was involved in missionary service. I think it was the London Missionary Society as it was then. And they were building a boat to bring a number of missionaries to a distant land. And they were getting it rigged out, and there were anchors being met. And this teacher said, I had a young lad in my class once, and I understand he's a blacksmith now, and he works at these things. I want you to go to him and get him to do one of the anchors, and especially the chain for us. So they did that. So it was on board. And this teacher, former teacher, who was now a missionary, along with a number of other missionaries, were going out to this particular country. And they had pretty plain sailing until they were about 3/4 of the way to their destination on their voyage. And then a terrible storm broke out on the ocean. Really bad. So they let down the anchor. Captain says, let it down. So it's quite a big anchor. And it let hold of something at the bottom. But the breakers were coming so wildly that after a while, the chain snapped. And there was more panic. It was getting dreadful. There was another anchor. Said, let it down. And it lasted for a while. But eventually, it snapped. And that ship was in danger of being broken up. And then the teacher on board remembered,
She says, Abel Becker made one of these anchors and chains. I would like you to get it. It was the last one. There were three or four, but his was the last one. And it was a smaller anchor than the others. And they said, well, how is it going to do it? We've nothing else to do anyhow, so we may as well try it. And the teacher, missionary, said, knowing young Abel, I believe he would have done a good job. They let it down. It got fixed down somewhere in the depths of the ocean. And the breakers came and it hauled the ship to and fro. And they could see the chain moving from side to side. But it lasted for hours. And then the calm came. And it drew up the anchor. Young Abel Becker, because he heard his Sunday school superintendent say from God's word, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Spent hours working on that anchor and that chain so that it would never give way in any circumstances. Wasn't it well that he did? Wasn't it well that he did it with all his heart? Wasn't it well that he did it with resolution and commitment? Wasn't it well he did it, as Solomon said, with his might? And young people and older people, that's the way that you and I are to do God's work. Totally committed. Not half-hearted. Not in fits and starts. Not when you feel like it or don't feel like it. But to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now there's piles of work out there in the wider society, as well as a lot of it here in this church. We must be concerned now to find out what God wants us to do. We've got to be active. We've got to discover what work we're well fitted for. And then give ourselves to it with earnestness and commitment, out and out. Unlike Hezekiah and Abel Becker, we'll do it with all our heart and prosper, and others will also.